Blog Talk Radio. In other words, what would you look like if you actually looked in the mirror and you saw yourself? What would you look like if you saw yourself through the eyes of God? And we're just, before we get started, just place that on your mind. We're going to open us up in prayer. Deacon Chapman, would you go ahead?
Oh, gracious and heavenly Father, as we come to you, Father, humble and humbling ourselves, Father, unto your grace. Thank you for your darling Son. Thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit, Father. And, oh, Father, we ask that you soften our hearts if they are hard. And in whatever suffering we have grown in, we ask for your continuous forgiving, Father. And teach us, O God, to cherish all that you have created us to be and all that we have yet to offer in your name through your Son. Help us to rejoice in the joy of others, Father. Help us to trust that we have a trusting heart because you are a trusting God. Father, bless each and every one that's listening in this program today. And may something be said that will touch and change their heart for the betterment of being a witness for Christ. Bless Sister Faith and her station, Father. And, oh, Father, I pray the upcoming election, Father, according to your will, I pray that you put the person in office that you have selected, not that man has appointed, but whoever you have anointed to be in that office to govern the people of this United States of America. But, Father, we have to look upon it is not the man, but it's you and your Son and the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we need to dwell upon for our furtherance of faith in you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Chapman. I just want to share, you know, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Are you pleased with what you see? And if you don't see the things the way God sees as far as the scripture is concerned, Are you willing to change those things so that you can see things as the way God sees you? I'm going to open us up in a prayer, not a prayer, but a scripture, because I think this is important that we see ourselves the way God sees us. And the only way that we can actually do this is to renew our mind, as it says in Romans 12:2, which says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." A lot of times as we grow up and we learn things through our parents, through our schools, through the people that we are accustomed to, that have shared in our lives, and even in our churches, are they meeting or are they showing us the things that God wants to see us? And when you look at things on an individual basis, when you have that relationship with the Lord, are you seeing things the way God sees you? And it really doesn't matter what color you are, what religion you are. God is concerned with your heart, and he wants to change your heart so that you can see things that what he has created in you. And when you look at Genesis 26:27, then God says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the livestock, over other earth, and over all the fishes on the ground." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. And so when we look at ourselves, we look at God, we have to rely on scripture, and we have to look in the lens of scripture so that we can see ourselves the way God sees. Not the things that we have been taught, but the things that God has shown us in his word. Because everything that God says is truth, and it's a promise. And if it doesn't line up with what God says, then it's lining up with the enemy, and it's not true. Deacon Chapman, is there anything you would like to share with this?
Well, when we look in a mirror, we see our physical image.
Yes.
God looks at the heart. And James, I think it's 1:23, talks about a looking glass. But, okay, when we look in a mirror and we see our physical image and say we turn away and walk away, do we really recall what we exactly looked like? As you said earlier, we're created in God's image. So if you're created in God's image, that means you are supposed to have a godliness and holiness about your life when you recognize that. Then the other part to that is 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." Now, like they used to say back in the day, if a man with a mule plowing, and if he started looking back, and then he looked forward, his row is crooked. But he kept his eyes focused on what he was doing, he would have a straight row for his planting. So God has planted his spirit in us from the beginning. But through the rebellion of Adam, he lost the glory of God. So in his spirit became tainted. Because we have to recognize between Adam and Moses, there was no law or word of God given until he gave it to Moses to write, because Moses wasn't even born before the writing of the law. But through the Spirit, he enhanced him and enabled him to script these scriptures. But the thing about it, when we say we are a new creature, do we recognize what that? We're already created, but our mind is renewed, like you were saying in Romans 12, and being transformed. So when we transform into Christ, when God sees us, he wants to see Christ in us. Because didn't Christ say, abide in me and I abide in you? But you have to abide in his word daily. And a lot of individuals in the church, and I didn't say the body of Christ or in the household of faith in the church, do not know the word of God. A lot of them have not taken time to memorize some scriptures that would be placed into your heart concerning what it is being the image of God. And in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, it says that, be ye not equally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? So Jesus said when he was here, I'm the light of the world. But now that he is gone, we are the light of the world. Because in Psalms it said, be a light unto my path, a light unto my feet. But the thing about it is that, do we really walk in the personification of the light of God? And when you walk in that, now when you look in that mirror, you can see Christ in you. Because 1 Corinthians 3:16 says that there's agreement that the temple of God, for ye are the temple of the living God, Christ is the only one that was recorded in the Bible that rose from the dead in a new glorified body. And this is what we have to look for, to being resurrected with a new glorified body, and we will spend eternally with Christ and the Father. But the thing about it, sometimes we got to ask ourselves a question. Father, will I be in eternity with you and your Son forever? So we have to really realize that we are now, once we have professed Christ, now the Spirit has temple himself into us, and we are now those walking temples and tabernacles, being a witness for Christ.
Amen.
And then first of all, you have to also, because earlier you were talking about forgiveness before the program came on. And
yes.
The thing about forgiveness that God has forgiven us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we ask for forgiveness of people that we have transgressed against. But do we ever forgive ourselves of our own transgressions? Do we embed in our heart that we need to embodiment of the word of God, that we will release the problems that we have? Because sometimes the problem of the heart could be heart of the problem, or the heart of the problem could be a problem of the heart, however way you want to put it. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
It's okay. I want to give you just a little testimony of where I'm at. A little while ago, some years ago, I have to say, even when I was growing up, I've been, my parents verbally abused me. And then as I was growing up in relationships, I have gone through many abusive relationships, both verbal and physical. And so today, as I look back, God has radically changed the way I see myself. There was a time when I felt like I was worthless or a waste of space. But as God has changed my thinking and through scriptures, God has made an image in me with a purpose, and now I see it. but I see it through the lens of scriptures. As I read the scriptures, God's showing me who I am. I was never worthless. I was always in the hands of God, but I couldn't see that because I couldn't see in the mirror. All I could see is my worthlessness, and my self-worth was below what God had created me to be. It says in Ephesians 2 and 10, "For we are God's workmanship and created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In Psalms 139:13-14, it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." And so when I look at those scriptures, they give me strength. They tell me who I am, that what God has created in me. And on here it says, "You are made in the image of God. We are no longer condemned. We are God's masterpiece, and we are spiritually seated with Christ." But you will not know that unless you get into your word and read the scriptures to know who you are in Christ. And when you do that, then you could see yourself the way God sees you. And I am so happy and overwhelmed. It took a lot of tears, but God filled me up with his love and showed me who I am. And so today, if someone says to me anything different than what God says, I don't believe them. I will not receive them into my life. And the only, like I said, the only way you're going to know that is if you get into the Word. You have to read the scriptures. You have to read the Word. You have to be, let those scriptures be inside of your heart. Because the enemy always ready to kill, steal, and destroy you. And I just wanted to share that. If anybody has ever gone through some things in life, I'm pretty sure you have. And that's the reason why I used this topic today, to see when you look in the mirror, and you have to look in the mirror on a daily basis, you have to be happy with what you see. And you have to know that it all came from God. Deacon Chapman, and you want to share anything on this?
I'd like to share a couple of scriptures.
Yes.
In Habakkuk 1 and 13, it reads, "Thou art of pure eyes, then to behold evil, and canst mm-hmm. look upon. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that do all that doeth treacherously and devouteth the man that is more righteous than he." In other words, there is no man created that is more righteous than God. And mm-hmm. God does not look upon evil. He wants to look upon a pure and gracious heart. And in 1 Peter 3:17, he says, "For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer from well-doing than for evil-doing." But a majority of people, even in the church, are suffering from evil-doing than for well-doing, because mm-hmm. we do as much persecuting amongst one another than they did after the martyring of Stephen. And Peter also says that in 1 Peter 1:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are always over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." So until we re- recognize that we are operating out of the will of God and learn how to operate in the will of God. Because I'm sure a lot of you Bible studies are familiar with the Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. Not with eye service, as men please, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So God looks at that heart. We think he's looking at our physical being, our physical face, but he's looking at that heart. That heart mm-hmm. that he created. And he wants that heart to be good, and he wants that heart to do good service to the Lord and not to men. So we'll say we're going to church service. Well, how are you serving God sitting in a pew listening at a message? Your mm-hmm. service comes when you serve people that you see that are in need and compassion, because or some people will use word pity in the translation in the Greek. But to have compassion, to love one another, to create an atmosphere of a unity of comfort in Christ. And because let's go back to Paul for a minute. Paul was against everything that the followers in the way of Christ was. He thought he was protecting what he had learned about God, and he rejected the teaching of Christ. But he got stopped on the road to Damascus and got converted. And when he went into the desert at the foot of Mount Sinai in Arabia for 3 years by himself mm-hmm. in the Holy Spirit, deposed him of the law, the legalism, and gave him in the yoke of bondage, and gave him the compassion of the grace of God through love. And Paul gave up everything he had and spent the rest of his life promoting mm-hmm. the gospel. And if you want to read what the gospel is, we always Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But go to 1 Corinthians 15 and read the first 4 verses.
Mm-hmm.
Paul okay. gives us the, pardon me?
Mm-hmm.
God gives, I mean, Paul gave us the gospel. But see, a lot of us today will dwell in the Old Testament, and we'll dwell in Revelation, and sometime in James, Peter, and John. But
mm-hmm.
Paul wrote to all believers, even though in those different communities, about the love of Christ. But James and Peter and John wrote to the scattered Jews that scattered into different Gentile and pagan communities. But the thing about it, John still wrote to believers, to all believers. And the thing about it, when, as you were saying about listening, okay, don't listen so much at the messenger. Listen at what the message is. And how can you conform the message to the Word of God unless you have studied the Word? Have your open Bible in there when they read. I remember growing up, they had audible scripture reading from the congregation. We don't, at least you don't see much of that no more. They're reciting
no.
some of the things, but we don't have that. And they had the Bibles, and they would come along. Because actually, if you have a King James Bible, and you see the mm-hmm. word "aura" as reference, that reference also means a read along. You go back to a certain mm-hmm. scripture and you read along. You read. Sometimes it means reference, sometimes it read. And you read those scriptures out loud. Because like in my Sunday school classes, I have the members that are seated there read the scripture, find the scripture and read the scripture. And mm-hmm. I want them to hear the scripture their mouth going into their ears, not just coming from my mouth going into mm-hmm. their ears. And because if you want to hear God speak, read his word out aloud. Now, no
yeah,
one has
yeah.
to read it, but that's the way I have learned. And so that it, because in Ephesians it says, be well with thee that thou mayest live long on earth. So the mm-hmm. more you study and you thank God for what he has blessed you for, then always asking him to bless you, thanking for what he's blessed you for, and how he's going to continue blessing you, and thanking for each and every day that he's given you, that you've woken up into this wicked and treacherous world that we have, that's a total blessing to be there. And also, we have to look at, going back talking about the mirror, looking in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
In the mirror,
mm-hmm.
actually, Everyone, ask yourself, what do you see? I remember years ago, just came to me a young lady saying, she was looking in the mirror and looking in her eyes. And I said, why are we doing it? I was trying to see me, see who I am. I said, well, what did you see? She said, I saw nothing but my reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you're going
right.
to see is your reflection.
That's
see,
true.
God looks at the inner person. You know,
right.
a lot of us have what they call an act of holiness on the outside, but have a deceit
mm-hmm.
in the heart.
Right.
And
so amen.
The question comes, who are we, what we do, why we do it? Who are we? Followers and believers in Christ. What do? We be a witness for him. Why do we do it? Because we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father, being our advocate and our mediator constantly for those that believe. Because Satan is always coming with a stumbling block. He's coming with an accusation.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Christ there. Even in our prayers, we have Christ there to reformulate and put the words in the proper context to give to God.
Mm-hmm.
We have to look upon another word, mercy, you know, and forgiveness, but all that comes from love, because God loves us more than we can ever realize. We can't love one another as deep and hard as God loves us.
Amen. Amen. When you were talking about the mirror, you got to look at how there's your truth, the things that really happened in your life. Just like I said, the physical abuse and everything else. But whatever happens in your life, those are your truths. And then there is God's truth. But you have to line your life under God's truth. They got to line up with God's truth, because that way you can be healed through God and through scriptures, so that you won't be bound anymore. You are free in those areas. And God can bring good out of the worst of circumstances, and it becomes truth in your life. And as it says in Romans 8:28, God causes everything to work together for your good. And so, with that said, when you look at your truth and God's truth, when it lines up with who you are in Christ, you become free in those areas. You will see that this may have happened to me, but look at what God has done to me and through me, where I can be a testimony to others that are still bound in those areas. And you can help them. And so I wanted to bring that point up, too, when you're looking at the things that God sees, because there's several stories in the Bible in those regards. And I guess Deacon Chapman, if you have any more comments or prayers, we can go ahead and close in prayer. Unless you have another comment you want to bring up.
Well, we also have to look at, let's look at Jonah for a minute. You know, God instructed Jonah where to go, and Jonah refused to go, and he put him in the belly of the whale.
Mm-hmm.
So many are called, but few are sent. And a lot of times, God has called us. God has spoken to our spirit and our heart. And because of what we see, we refuse
mm-hmm.
to answer that. So there's going to be some suffering, some trials there. And I admit God would take you through certain areas in your life and stumble.
Mm-hmm.
He gets your attention. And he got Jonah's attention. He got Paul's attention, you know. He got Peter's attention, you know. And we have to study these things in the Bible. And don't be like Samson. God gave him a riddle, and because of his love for women, he gave the riddle up. Got drunk and gave the riddle up, you see. And a lot of times God has called us, and we don't answer the call.
Mm-hmm.
Because Say, well, I don't feel qualified. See, God, man appoints, but God anoints. If God was teaching Sunday school, I did it as a teenager, and I taught some Baptist training unit class and some Bible studies and stuff, but I never looked upon myself as being a teacher until a bishop had a conversation with me and invited me to teach classes at his church. And so that opened up the door, but God used him to open up my heart to do what I'm doing now. And I really enjoy it because I love the Word of God. I tell anyone, spend some time in that Word, because that Word will change your life. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I stumble sometimes, but I repent of these things. We do have deceitful hearts, and we have to be in a repentive stage on a day-to-day basis. Now, some people will say, well, God forgave me at the cross, and I don't have no more sin. That's a bold-faced lie, if I may use that analogy. We do sin. But you have to, what you call, acknowledge that sin and present it to God for repentance and forgiveness on a daily basis. Because he searches the heart. And he knows the mind of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, Romans 8:20, all things work together good to them that love God, to them who are the called to his purpose. But nobody looking at that word according to his purpose, not to what we want to do. Many men are called to a leadership, but they take it and turn the word of God into their own methods of understanding and not really studying and praying and let the spirit connect with their spirit to teach the people that not only he's a vessel, but he's teaching them the word of God, that they are supposed to be the children of God through Christ all the way back to Abraham. Now, there were physical descendants of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were proselytes, in other words, through Isaac. Now, not Ishmael, not Keturah. Abraham, when he married his second wife, Keturah, which had 6 sons, and Ishmael was blessed with 12 princes of the tribe. But they were not the sons of promise.
Mm-hmm.
They have a promise through God, through Christ, by faith. Back during the Testament area of Christ's life, they walk by faith. But now we are supposed to believe by faith, right? They developed little faith of something that they saw, because if you look in Matthew, the end of Matthew, they say some believed and some doubted. But in John 2, at the wedding of Cana, after the miracle of the change of the wine, all his disciples believed. But along the way, some of them got into disbelief as of today. A lot of people are thinking of the word, because the word don't conform to what they interpret should be working in their lives. But we are not supposed to work in us, we are supposed to work the word the way it is written and does what the word says. So then there would be no condemnation that are in Christ and who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. We're all supposed to walk in the spirit. Whenever you see the spirit in the Bible, the capital S, that's talking about the spirit of God. With a small s, that's the spirit of man. So sometimes this voice that you may hear, there's a voice of man, there's a voice of Satan, there's a voice of God. Through the spirit. Now, which voice are you listening to? Because it's the heart where the spirit dwells therein. And but many have sin dwelling in there, and we are in a sinful flesh. Should we do evil in the presence of God? No, but we do. And that's why he's forgiving. That's why he loves us, and he continued to show us his love.
Yeah, that's true.
And the word says, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the bodies of this death? I thank the Lord through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So do we through Christ on a daily, daily basis. And then walk out to the
spirit. Because
they say, also the Bible says in Romans that the whole world, the whole creation groans and travail in pain together until now. Mm-hmm. And that word moves forward until now. You know? But we say by what? The hope of glory. but that hope is not seen. But what all we do is what man seeth. And why does he yet hope for us? in Hebrews 11:1, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Amen. Amen.
Have that hope.
Austin. Yeah. Okay, then. Deacon Chapman, can you close in prayer?
Okay, just one more. In Romans 8:20, it says, he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the spirit. I'll just stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The heart.
I like
okay.
that one.
Father God, we come before thee, Father, thanking you, Father, for the word that was spoken according to your word, Father. Pray that whoever was listening today, Father, that they have a better understanding of your word and what it means, that when he looks at us, what does he really see? Do he see his son, spirit of his son indwelling in us? Are we doing the work of the spirit? Are we doing things according to our own understanding? But David said, Father, in Psalm 119:11, thy word I hide in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And Father, we do commit a lot of sins, and we thank you for your grace and your love, your salvation, your justification. But most of all, God, I thank you for everyone, your mercy, that you've held your judgment back on us, Father, giving us the opportunity to grow in grace. And I say continue to bless Sister Faith, bringing this station, Father, bringing these discussions in this scriptorial presentation, Father, of your word. And may each and every one be blessed in peace and blessing to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Chapman. All right. Well, Tiff, I just want to say good night to all of you. And God bless you and have a good evening. We'll see you next Wednesday.
And keep me up in prayer, please.
I sure will, Deacon Chapman.
All right.
All right.
Person, if you're looking for somebody, he's gone. He don't need nobody else.